Hey, it's a very special day today. Mr. Bob King, of course, joining us on the phone this morning. And Bob, I am thrilled. I hope to be the first person to wish you happy Star Wars Day.
Oh.
May the 4th be with you.
Great.
Ba-dum-bum-tsh.
Yes. I believe in the Force, that's for sure.
I certainly do, too. It comes right after the 3rd and right before the 5th.
The 5th.
Yes.
And so may the 5th be with you as well.
And that, too. See, what's this? What's? And I've got to find out how high can you jump on other planets?
Oh, yes.
Inquiring minds want to know.
Well, you know, it all depends on how big a planet it is.
Oh, I like this already.
How massive it is, as we say.
I like this already.
Yeah, I wrote a little bit about that in a blog this week.
So it's not that I'm not athletic, it's just that I'm on the wrong planet.
Yeah, and that's really what the problem is. You can only jump probably a little more than a foot and a half from a standing jump here, Lisa.
Okay.
Which really isn't much, but if you really want to show your prowess at jumping, you just go to the moon. And there, if you lift off from the ground, you can get about 9 feet in the air.
Nice.
And just like in a dream,
yes,
you come down more slowly than you do on the earth. So there's less impact when you land. So that's pretty cool. Yeah, because the moon.
It's better on your joints when you get to be a person of a certain age.
Yeah.
To exercise on the moon.
Yeah. Well, maybe in the future we can create moon-like environments for people with tough joints.
Yeah, so that you land gently, and then, you know, they could run. Because runners, you know, after a certain point, the doctor will say, well, it's really hard in your joints. But if, you know, you ran on the moon, you'd be fine.
Yeah, well, you've seen the astronauts fall on the moon. You know, there's been videos where they, you know, they've been trying to pound a hammer or whatever, pick
right.
a rock, and they trip and they fall, and it looks like, oh, no, they're falling. But, you know, they fall more slowly, too, so there's less impact. The reason, though, I mean, you jump higher on the moon because there's less gravity there, right? There's less to hold you down close to the ground because it's less massive than the Earth, and gravity depends upon an object's mass and also its density, by the way. But your leg muscles are just as strong on the moon as they are on the Earth. So you were built for the Earth. But when you go to the moon, your legs are, like, super powerful because you can just spring right into action on the moon.
I was actually made for the moon, I think.
I'm sorry?
I was actually made for the moon.
You were made? I know. Me too,
yeah.
Especially
here,
in the morning when I try to get out of bed.
Here on this Earth, gravity is not my friend. And, you know, you hit a certain age, too, and you start tripping over stuff, and your balance gets a little wackadoo. And I was definitely made for the moon. Okay, this is good to know.
Well, would you like to hear about what's happening this week? What's coming up? We've got a few really wonderful things.
Absolutely. I may fall over with excitement, but that's okay.
Well, the thing that I'm going to talk about is something that you don't even need to stand up for.
Oh, that's what I like.
So you can just lay back. You have a lounging chair?
Of course.
All right. Well, then you just bring that out. That's going to be your equipment when you go out tomorrow morning at 3 o'clock to watch the Eta Aquariid meteor shower.
Okay.
Yep, we have, back in April, we had the Lyrids, so we're starting to get a little bit more activity in these meteor showers as we approach the summer. But this one, this is an annual shower. It happens every May. At this time, the Earth, as it's orbiting the sun, crosses the path of Halley's Comet. And so when we cross that path, Halley's, which has faithfully orbited the sun for tens of thousands of years, I'm sure much longer, each time it passes near the sun, some of that ice vaporizes, and along with it comes dust. And so it sprinkles dust in its path, dust and tiny pebbles. So the Earth slams into those objects as it crosses through Halley's orbit, and they burn up in the atmosphere, and they give us a meteor shower. And those meteors appear to radiate from the constellation of Aquarius, right near the star Eta. And that is going to happen tomorrow morning, also on Thursday morning. So tomorrow's the peak, but in case it's cloudy. But you know what, Lisa? It looks like it's going to be clear.
Let me check the forecast. Tonight, mostly clear.
Mostly clear. So, you know, the stars are aligning here.
They are.
We have a mostly clear night and a meteor shower. Now, this shower is a really big deal if you live in the southern hemisphere because the radiant point, what I like to call the Star Trek effect, you know, when they hit light speed?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
The star right in front of you looks like a point, but everything else streams.
Right.
Right? Okay, same thing happens in a meteor shower. The Earth is moving through a stream of particles instead of moving at light speed through stars. So those particles form that Star Trek perspective effect, and they appear to radiate from a point in the sky. That point's in Aquarius. And Aquarius is low in the sky for us in northern Minnesota. Well, for the northern half of the United States, which means that it's not like really high up where you'd see a lot of meteors. A bunch of meteors get cut off by the horizon. So normally, like if you're in the southern hemisphere where it's much higher, you would see like 50 meteors per hour, up to that many. Here in our region, we'll probably see closer to 20 per hour, which isn't bad.
No.
I sense silence. You're disappointed. I wish I could come through for you here.
I just, you know, I'm starting to think that I was probably built for the southern hemisphere, too.
Is it?
It's warmer there, right?
Applying one qualifier after another until we find the perfect environment.
It's warmer there, isn't it? It's warmer
It's actually cool. It's getting cooler there now.
Oh, so it's not like it's not warmer than 53 there, for example.
Yeah, it might be warmer than that. But anyway, the shower will happen tomorrow morning. There are little pieces of Halley's Comet that will be burning up in the atmosphere, and about 20 per hour. The best way to observe the shower is to get up at around, I would say start at around 3 o'clock in the morning, okay? Just get comfortable in that lounge chair. Face towards the east or south.
You know, I have a lounge couch.
Oh, a couch.
It's a loungy love seaty sort of thing because I have dogs. And so we all pile onto this thing together. And it faces south, where all the sunshine is during the day.
Oh, sure.
So I'm absolutely golden.
Yeah, and tonight it'll be a little cool, so you want to wear some warm clothing. Maybe put your winter pack boots on again so you're extra warm.
I have Bankies.
And that'll do.
Yeah.
And so you just sit back and watch. And like I say, we don't have a lot of time to view the shower because the radiant point doesn't really get above the horizon until around 3 o'clock. So, and then it's twilight at 4:30. That's when we see the beginning of dawn. So it's really from 3 until about 4:30. That's the viewing time for this shower.
All right.
And
that
while you're out.
Super cool.
Hmm?
That's super cool. I just want to say thanks.
Yeah. When you're out and you're looking off to that south direction, you're going to see the two bright planets, Jupiter, the really bright one, and then about a fist to the upper right of Jupiter, you'll see Saturn. And then the thick crescent moon will join the scene at around 4 o'clock in the morning. So there's all these little things kind of happening at the same time.
The crescent moon, by the way, was gorgeous this morning.
Oh, you got to see it.
I did.
Oh,
and it's
good.
Just beautiful. And I thought, I'd love to take a, you're late, get moving. It's kind of what, yeah. So
they have messages for all of us.
Yes, exactly.
If you listen to the stars, you will find.
Yeah.
If there's time, I'd like to mention something else.
Oh, absolutely.
That's in the morning. I know it's a little rough. I always feel kind of sheepish mentioning events that happened at 3 o'clock in the morning because I know how difficult it is for people to get up at
and
that hour.
And yet we're talking about homegrown and, you know, and normally during homegrown, people are staying out until 1, 2, 3 a.m. anyway. We don't have any problem with that. But morning people are vilified, Bob. Vilified.
Yeah, I think so. But homegrown, I didn't realize homegrown was actually a live.
Well, it's not going to be, it's going to be virtual again this year. We're being safe. But by the same token, back when it was live, and as we hope it will next year,
then, yeah.
Knock, knock, you know, people were out all night and nobody said, oh, that's too late.
Yeah,
you know?
Well, that was wonderful, yes, in the PC, pre-COVID era.
Yes, exactly.
But here's something for evening. It's sky watchers. Okay, early evening, even better. We have two planets in the evening sky that have not been around for some time, especially one of them, Venus. Venus is now returning this month to the evening sky. And it's the reason we haven't seen it is because it's been in the same direction, the same line of sight as the sun for the past couple of months, so it's just invisible in the glare. But it is now nudged its way. It's orbited to the left of the sun, a little east, far enough east so that if you go out starting about 25 minutes after sunset, and for our region that's around 10 until 9, 8:50, and you find a place with a really good view to the west-northwest so you can see almost down to the horizon, and you bring a pair of binoculars and make sure they're focused. You know, focus on a cloud so that they're focused at infinity. If you focus on a cloud, they'll also be sharp for stars and the moon, anything in the sky. So you look low towards that direction at about 10 to 9, and you might just spot a single little bright star. That's Venus. And if you do, right above Venus, about one fist above Venus, vertical fist, you know, the bottom at the horizon, at the top of that fist, you'll see the planet Mercury. So the two of them are together in the evening sky, which is really cool. I'll be writing about them in my blog tomorrow with more directions on how to find them.
Fantastic. And we'll get a link set up so it'll be easy for folks to track those also. Bob, thanks so much for joining us this morning. And I'll let you know how things go when I sign up for that gym membership on the moon.
Good. I hope you get it. I know there's a long line.
There is, but I'm pretty confident. So,
all right, Lisa, thank you.
Mr. Bob King, our host for Astro Bob's Backyard Astronomy, a regular feature of Tuesdays here on Northland Morning.